Morning, everyone. It's good to see you today. Let's just take a moment and practice smiling. There's a few there, but for the rest of us, let's join in and just smile together. You know, sometimes we cry together. Sometimes we get frustrated together, and then there's times we need to smile together, and let's put a smile on our face today. And you may not even feel like smiling today, but just do it by faith that everything is going to be fine. Everything's going to work out. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there was a guy that, he said, I just tell you, that women drivers are a hazard to traffic. I heard a few men laughter there. Every smile on every woman's face in this room just went throom. He said, driving to work this morning on the highway, I look over to my left and there's a woman there doing 65 miles an hour with her face up next to her rearview mirror, and she's just a combing and a teasing and just doing all this great kind of stuff, just doing her hairdo. And I look away for a couple of seconds, and when I look back, she's over halfway in my lane. It scared me so bad that I dropped my electric shaver in my coffee. Well, we men have been known, you know, for not asking for directions and telling other people how to get the job done. But in reality, the most serious mistakes that each and every one of us make in life are those that mess up our relationship with God because we just simply do not stop and ask God for directions. Ask God for what He wants in our life. You know, just being off the mark just a little bit in the end can set us back and even cost us heaven. Because you see, we are as humans, and like I spoke to our chapel service here on Friday morning, is that we as humans like to take shortcuts. It is in our DNA. We are a flesh that likes to take shortcuts, because in this flesh there is no good in us. But the only good that we have today comes from heaven above. And I pray that when we leave this place today, after our baby dedications and our 11 a.m. service, and the lights are turned out and we go home for the week, I pray that we leave here looking at life a different way, that there is no place for shortcuts in our walk with God. The Bible identifies four different ways that we can mess up. Transgression. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. In Psalms chapter 19, verse number 13, it says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The scripture is teaching us that if we will allow sin to have dominion over us, it will. But thanks be to God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, sin does not have dominion over me any longer. It's through the blood of Jesus. And then the trespass. Leviticus chapter 5, verse number 17 says, and if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. We see this in the scripture setting. So we know that sin is very important to understand, that if I take a shortcut on it, sin's going to cost me in the end. You know, it's a sad place to be in our minds, that we feel like we've got it all together. We feel like we're on the right path, but we leave out just something that is small enough that we can't remember it, but it's large enough that it separates us from God and His presence. For we find in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So this sin thing is a big issue. This trespasses, it's a big issue to us. We cannot get so busy in life that we forget that sin is laying at everyone's front doorstep. And if we do not stay totally committed to God, it will find us in a place that we will be caught by surprise. Iniquity. Then there's that separation. Everybody say the wedge. The separation. Isaiah chapter 59 verse number 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Now let's just stop and think about this for just a moment. I don't want to get in debate. I'm not real good with debates. You know, I've been married nearly 30 years. I just listen. We don't debate anymore. We just listen. That's the way we do it. We just listen. But it is unique to me, and it's very alarming to me that just iniquity, the separation, the wedge can separate us from our God. Because this is the word, this is the book. It says sin separates us not only from God, but then He will hide His face towards us. I know people say, well, God hears the prayers of a sinner. Yes, He does. I believe that God hears every prayer that is ever prayed. But He's also bound by this book right here. Is that where sin is, there is iniquity. And it's going to separate us from our God. And then it is a sad place to be in that God will hide His face from us. And Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew who you were, because..." Watch this. "Ye that work iniquity." Now, if iniquity is a separation point between us and God, and then we know that not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter therein, this iniquity is a big deal. It's something that we need to take. We need to take time to understand. God, where am I going wrong? For you see, there's a lot of people that thinks there's a lot of different ways to get to heaven. But we're finding out that there is only one salvation. We're only finding out that there is only one way to enter into heaven. It's not gonna catch God off guard. It's gonna catch us unaware of the issues around us. So if iniquity and our transgressions and our trespasses is enough to keep God from us from seeing His face, and it's hid from us, and not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter therein, then God's pretty serious about this sin thing. He's very serious about salvation. For you see, sin, this final word, is the concept most commonly found in the Old Testament and the New Testament to describe our mistakes. It signifies, in many places, missing the mark. Missing the mark. Now, let's just say it like this. Even if it were possible for us to not commit sin or trespasses or transgressions or iniquity, even though if it was even possible, we still have a sinful nature by birth. We need to get into a place and find a place in this scripture that there we find more than a natural birth, but we find a spiritual birth. It is all about the Spirit of God that dwells inside of each and every one of us by the power of the Holy Ghost. If it is possible for us to still fall short by nature, we need a bridge in our lives to get us from iniquity, transgression, trespasses, to make us in a place where we can go and bridge between God and sin. The Bible tells us that we were created to have a relationship with God. I believe that I can prove it to you in the Word of God today that many people will rise up and stand before the Lord and hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye work of iniquity." And they're going to say, "Lord, I did all of these things that you have required of me, but yet there was a few things that they didn't practice. A holy lifestyle, separation from the world, a godly relationship with Him, not just doing the boogie-woogie and the Jesus shuffle on Sundays at 10 and 11. You know, smiling on Sundays and frowning Monday through Saturday. We find the human race rebelled and walked away from God's will. And so because of this, we are burdened down with sin. And sin is a weight that I don't want to carry with me every day of my life. I want God. I want His power. I want that relationship with Him that when I wake up in the morning, I will know that my salvation and election is sure, that I have done and obeyed and practiced the Word of God. Amen. Because the human race is rebellious and this flesh doesn't want to line up to the Word of God, that means you got to put it in place every morning. And I'm talking about before you put Folgers in your cup or you heat up your Krispy Kreme donut, you better make sure that your life is in the path that God has directed for each and every one of us. Amen. Now, there is a bridge between us and God that we are allowed to cross over through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not by our good works, but it's by His good works. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 3, verse number 23 teaches us, "For all have sinned." Don't look at your spouse right now. Don't even tempt it. Just smooth it out. "For all have sinned." That means everyone in this room. That means everyone that will be born into this world. All of us have sinned. There is nothing good about us. Not only does it say that we've all have sinned, but we have come short of the glory of God. The bad news is that the penalty for falling short is death. That's the bad news. That's the bad news. So we need something to save us and to protect us and to pick us up out of the sin that we are in, to get us in a place that salvation has come to us. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your banking account, how much retirement you've got saved up, or the nicest of homes that we live in, the cars that we drive, or the clothes that we wear, or how popular we may think we are in this city or in this church. We've all sinned, and I need a way to get out of this sinful life that I am in. because sin is going to cost me my soul. And so we must come to the knowledge is that not everybody is going to enter that says, Lord, Lord. So we've got to pull these things together and say, God, show me in the Holy Scriptures where I can find salvation. It's so real. It's so real. Romans went on to write it and place it in the word like this. For the wages of sin is death. But here it is. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, this death that I'm talking about is not the physical death. Now, I know I'm gonna probably upset some of you, you know, and we don't like to lose anybody to death. We do not like to lose any loved one or precious friend to death. But it's going to come to all of us. It is going to come to all of us because of sin. Because of what sin created in the garden when it began to deceive the first family. It's been passed on to us. Now, I know y'all would like to have me around for 1,000 years. I know that. I can tell by the look on your face right now. Wake that person up and tell them, hey, he's talking about living 1,000 years. I know you want me around for 1,000 years, but the flesh, this old body wears out. Yeah, it starts in the knees. Can I get a testimony? Then it comes up the back. And then before you know it, my kids are making me reservations down at the Blake. I guess they think I got money, I guess. Yeah. I'm not talking about the physical death, the physical wearing out of this body. But I'm talking about a spiritual death. For it is possible for you to be breathing, for you to be enjoying life and still be dead in the spirit. I don't know about you, but I want the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me because it gives me joy. It's the joy of the Lord that keeps me going every day. Yeah, you're talking about living in a world that is more perverted. It used to be day by day. Now we're down to minute by minute. We live in a perverted world. We live in a generational time that I'm telling you, and I want to say that it's not going to blow my mind, but then they take it a little further and woo, blows my mind. I need some joy in my spirit. I need to know that when I walk down the streets of this city that people will see me and I don't look and act like them. I want them to know what I've got on the inside is joy unspeakable and it's full of glory and it is life dwelling inside of me. If you want that, shout amen. Amen. If you don't, just we'll tase you and you'll get joy. This physical death. We need a spiritual awakening. There is no escaping this destiny unless you find and experience salvation. Eternity is so long that it would be worth paying any price in this life to be saved. The scripture teaches us that it would be better for us to enter into heaven with a being lame a little bit with, you know, maybe not having this and having that, but to miss heaven. But to miss it. I'm afraid we got a lot of traditional professing Christians that's going to be shocked when they get there. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says, for many says, Lord, Lord. But they're not going to have the way in because all they did was said, Lord, Lord. And there's more to this than just Lord, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring God, that he might bring us to God. This is what the scripture is teaching us, that Jesus Christ took on the role of human flesh and dwelt among us and went to Calvary, and he felt pain. He felt betrayal. He felt like, my goodness, this is painful. But yet, when they tried to take it away from him, he said, I refuse to let this cup pass from me. I refuse to allow this to be taken away from me, because there will be a group of people on a Sunday morning in Kingsport, Tennessee, that's going to need salvation. They're going to need this moment to take away their sins from this world. You see, up until this moment in this Bible class today, what I just talked to you and talked to you about could be spoken about in any church in the world, because every church will teach us that we, iniquity, no, trespasses, no. You know, transgressions, no, we don't need to be walking that way. But here is a fact. It's good to know that those things doesn't belong in the life of a child of God. The bad news is when we don't tell people how they can walk away from that lifestyle, how they can pull out of those transgressions and trespasses and iniquities, you know, and sin. We have got to have a way of escape. The critical question to each and every one of us today is, we've all been there, we have all sinned, we've all come short of his glory, and we know sin bringeth forth death. We know that, but we've got to know how to get out of those situations. Yes, it's one thing to know that you're lost out there trying to find your way around a large city. You're on vacation and you were as lost can be. I remember one time I was doing presentations for Lighthouse Ranch for Boys many years ago, and my GPS was taking me to the Illinois United Pentecostal Church campground. Here I am, I'm driving down through there, and I'm just, you know, just singing good old gospel music, you know. Southern gospel, you know, that's God's music. And if you don't like that, you need to come pray. We got foot washing and communion for you. Confession booth somewhere in here. Yeah, that's God's music. And I'm just singing, man. Want to dig a little deeper in God's love. I want to dig. And the GPS came on and said, you have arrived. I said, nope, not where I want to go. I was staring a cornfield. Corn everywhere. I know if you'll build it, they'll come, but they forgot to build and I showed up anyway. Here we are in the middle of this cornfield. I don't know how I ended up there, but I sure didn't know how to get out of there. And I had about 45 minutes to get to my location. Oh, yes, that feeling that came over me. I was lost and I didn't know where to go. Yes, it's hard to get signal in Illinois in a cornfield. I was relying on something that was not available to me at that point. This is the way that I am teaching to you today. It's good to know that this is not needed in our life. But if we don't have somebody to tell us and to show us how to pull out of this sin that we are living in, then we will remain there. You cannot make one mistake on this one. Yes, I made a mistake. Ended up in a cornfield. Showed up for church right on time. Just good, you know, short enough amount of time to get there. Let them know I was there and do what I was there for. Yes, I made it just in time. But on this road trip, the roadmap to heaven, you cannot afford to make one mistake on this journey. You cannot afford just to take the preacher's word for it. Yeah. Don't turn me off. Well, Pastor, you said it and it's true. Oh, no, don't you go there. I know some of y'all. I know some of you. Yeah. This is so important that you cannot take my word for it. You have got to go home and open up this Bible for yourself. And I'm telling you, I know it's old. You're going to hear it again and again and again. But I want to repeat what I've been preaching to you, precious people, is that this is not the information pulpit. This is not the information desk. This is the confirmation desk. Everything I say from here should be confirming what you have been studying in your home and in your Bible study. It should go hand in hand. And if it don't, you buy me a bacon cheeseburger and we'll talk about it. But don't come if you ain't got no food. Come with an offering. Yes, that's right. Five guys just around the corner. That's right. You shouldn't just rely on every word that comes out of my mouth. But you should go home, open this book, because here's the issue at hand. There's only one salvation in this book. And if we miss the mark, it's going to cost us our soul. And not only is it going to cost us our soul, but our little children that we teach, they're following after us. Because what we teach them is what we believe. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, I know I'm not living like I should right now, but I'm teaching my children the right way. Lord have mercy. You needed a mind evaluation right now. You teach them by your actions. You teach them how you live on a daily basis. They're watching what you do. What we do, they are watching that. This one, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot afford to get it wrong. Because if we do, we have missed the mark. We have missed the mark. My God, I hope you hear this word today. I know it's a Bible class and we're learning a little bit about the Word of God, but my Lord, what would the good use of being if I was to gain profits for myself but lose my soul? What would it profit a man if he was to gain the world and lose his soul? It don't matter how much money we got then. It don't matter how new our boat is then. It doesn't matter if we got an electric car or, a gas. Well, yeah, it does matter. That's another. It won't matter. All these things won't matter if we stand before the Lord and he says, did you not read my word? For many will say, Lord, Lord. They will say it. Oh my. Notice here in John chapter 1, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice there's three elements here that we'll discuss, and I've got just a few moments to do that. Notice, the first one, we must receive the Lord into our lives. Absolutely. But as many as received him, that means you've got to receive the Lord to come into your lives. Now, I want to say this, is that we can say, Lord, I receive you. Yeah, that's a start, but it's not the finish. And as anything in life, this is the way the Word of God is. It's telling us what to do. It's not telling us that this is the end for our salvation walk with God. It's saying the first thing you need to do is you need to go find him. You need to go find him and receive him. And when you receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's number two. When you receive him, he will give you power to become the sons of God. But it didn't stop there either. Even to them that believe on his name. So we must receive. When we receive, we are given power. But it comes through the name of Jesus Christ. There is only one salvation message in this scripture, regardless of what all of us believe here today. You need to say this and repeat it to yourself. And repeat it to yourself again. Sort of like Pete and Repeat sitting on a log, and you become Repeat. I'm going to be Pete and you're going to be Repeat. It is not that we are right and everyone else is wrong. It is that the Bible is right and everyone else is wrong. Put that in your spirit this morning. It doesn't matter what this brother says or what pastor says or what this dear sister says. Let's go to the Word of God and open this old black King James Version Bible. Open it up to that line and say, let's see what the Word of God says about this. Because this is what we measure our life after. Not some book that some prophet wrote, or not some good book that T.D. Jakes wrote under the inspiration of God. No. I want to go to this book that was inspired by the Holy Ghost, that it has stood the test of time and it has never failed, and they've tried to burn it, they've tried to hide it, they've tried to change it, but it keeps coming back. And here's the reason why, is because there's power in these pages. There is power in this book, because it is the roadmap to our salvation. Shout amen if you believe it. Amen. Shout amen by faith. I'm going to believe it. Amen. So what we've got to do is we've got to tell ourselves, it's not what the church next door. We've got a church next door over there. Pastor Allie is one of the finest men you'll ever meet in your life. We love him. He helps us. We help them. It's a good relationship, because I'm telling you right now, we have got to build relationships with everybody we come in contact with. And get the salvation plan in this Bible to everybody we meet. Felt a little tension right there. But what I got, it's full of glory and joy, and it's powerful, and I want to share it with everybody. Absolutely right. I want to share it with everybody. So what we must do is, we cannot go off of what Aunt Susie or Uncle Bobby or, you know, Grandma Ethel, she believed this. Boy, that's powerful. But I'm not taking their word for it. I'm going to go with this book. Has it changed? No, sir. No, ma'am. But they may not have quoted it to me right. They may not have believed it right. I'm not taking a chance on it. I've told people, I was talking to somebody this morning, and I've talked to a lot of people this morning, so I know where I'm at, but I can't remember what I said, but I do remember this. They said, they asked me what I was doing this week, and I said, well, you know, we could meet up this week, no problem. I said, what are you doing? There it is. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going down to a conference. Are you going? I said, oh, yeah, I'm scheduled to be there. I had to flash back. He said, where are you staying? I said, I don't know. He said, what do you mean you don't know? I said, well, there's a man named James Griever that works in our offices, and he's got me a hotel somewhere. I don't know where it is. But wherever he sends me, that's where I'm going to go. I may end up in a Super 8. I may end in a Motel 6 with no light on. I don't know where I'm going. But I can tell you this, I've got enough faith in him that he's going to send me to a right place and to a good place. So I've trusted him with where I'm going to sleep. I'm not trusting him with where I'm going to spend eternity. Somebody get that in your spirit right now. Yes, I'll trust him to get me to the next location where I need to go in this physical. No, but I'm not going to take his final word on in the spiritual, because he could get a little something wrong. Well, I wouldn't believe Brother Griever would do that. Well, I didn't believe Granny and Pawpaw and a lot of them, you know, didn't have it. You know, I thought they all had it right. But I'm not going to take a chance where I'm going to spend eternity. Because I got people looking after me. They're following me. And if I go in the wrong direction, then somebody is going to pay the cost. Somebody is going to pay the cost. So what did I say? Repeat. It's not that we are right and everyone else is wrong. It is that the Bible is right and all of us is wrong. Just got to get in this book. So what does the book say? Only this Bible message, only the salvation provided by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross can bridge us between sin and God. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe that. I believe that. Only his death, burial, and resurrection have the power to stamp out our penalty of eternal death. For everyone agrees that we need to receive the Lord. Everybody that you meet agrees that we will need the need to receive the Lord. Even an atheist will change his mind when oxygen gets a little low. Everyone agrees because all of us, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody will agree to that. But only his death, burial, and resurrection have the power to overcome sin. And while many people receive the Lord, but so many people miss the other two elements that complete salvation. Taking on his name and allowing him to give us power. Yes, even the devils believe in Jesus Christ. So if believing was enough, then the old devil would have a chance of making it back into those pearly gates. But believing is not enough. Just receiving the Lord. You got to go another step further. Matter of fact, you got to go two steps further. You got to take on his name. The cross bridges that for us. We can only cross the bridge through obedience. Everybody say obedience. You can believe in planes all you want, but belief is not enough for you to cross this great country, stand in Kingsport and be in the Bahamas in just a few minutes. Now, if I believe that, I'd believe it right now. So, this don't look like the Bahamas around here. Matter of fact, you look like the people I was seeing before I closed my eyes. You see, believing is not enough. It's nowhere near enough. But obedience, that means you obey what you need to do, the knowledge that has been given to you that says you've got to get on the aircraft for it to take you to the place that you are wanting to go. Ladies and gentlemen, here's how we cross the bridge. It is an altar of the New Testament church. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38 teaches us. Remember those three steps? Receive, obey, you'll get the power, you'll get the name. Here it is. Then Peter said unto them, repent. You tell God you're sorry. Tell him you're good for nothing. It's all right. You don't have to admit it to anybody else. But admit it to him. I'm sorry, Lord. I've done a lot of bad things. I've cheated. I've lied. Lord, I took an extra piece of bacon on the buffet and they told me not to. Lord, yes. God, I've done some bad things in my life. God, forgive me for flattening Brother Humphrey's tire. Oh, God, Lord, forgive me for lying to my pastor when I knew he saw me do it, but I still trying to get out of it. Am I helping anybody yet? You got to repent. I repent of all of my sins, but it doesn't stop there. And it says be baptized. Not only baptized, but it tells you how to be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So it's not that it's so hard to do. You just got to act on it. You've just got to obey it. You've just got to believe in this, that all of your sins are going to be washed away. And Jesus said, then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is that power that we spoke of just a few moments ago, but many as received him. He gave them power. And to them that believe on his name. Oh, I believe in the name of Jesus. Then believe in it enough to take on that name in baptism. Believe on it enough to put it over your heart through baptism. Yes, it's an act of faith. You're being obedient to the word of God. Now, the only question should be left to ask, and I know I've touched the treetops here this morning. If you want to know more about this, I would be more than honored to meet with you and teach you more of this. Brother Evans, our Bible study coordinator here, we would love to meet with you and share the good news with you. But listen, Romans chapter 2, verse number 1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest does the same things. We are speaking here in this bridge gap is that we can judge, we can become the judge if we so desire. There's a lot of times, and I'm going to be preaching about that here in just a little bit about the mercies of God. But when we get into a place that we become the judge, we start judging people, and we forget the word of God says, work out your own. What is that? Salvation? I've got to get me right. I've got to get me fixed. I've got to put me in order. This flesh has got to die out to sin. And so this morning, I want to leave you with this. It's not that this word of God is wrong. It's that we as humans, we have been taught and picked up on the tradition of men that it is so vital that we go open this Bible for ourselves and see what the word of God says. I'm going to tell you right now, you can Google it if you want, but it's not going to change this. You can Google salvation, and there will probably be a million different ways you can find it. But what good is that if it contradicts this book that I'm speaking from today? I want to be so right that I'm 100% sure there is no error of being wrong. You know what? I'd rather that police officer pull me over and say, hey, Damesworth, you was going 1 mile over the speed limit. You know? Because he's going to give you the same ticket whether you're doing 1 or 10. It may cost you a little bit here and there. Your insurance is going to go. I would rather somebody pull me over and point out my errors than to take my last breath and stand before God and take a chance on my soul. Now, I know we know people. They've made movies. They've made stories of people that have died and they've come back and they have shared their story. But you know what? I'm not taking a chance on dying and coming back and telling you a story. I want to make sure I got it right before this is all said and done. I want to find out salvation according to the word of God and apply it to my life. Lord Jesus, we thank you. God, I thank you for allowing me to share this little word with your people in this Bible class today. God, I'm asking you to go before us and be with us. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, I don't want a new revelation. I want what's in this Bible. God, I don't want to come across to another preacher or pastor or minister that says, I found a new way. I want to know your ways. I want to know what you think about it in this book. God, so I'm asking you this. Lord, every person that applies their study time this week, God, that you will reveal to them the written word of God as you would have it delivered unto us. God, because none of us want to die lost and spend eternity in hell. God, I'm asking you today to let a revelation, a new impartation, the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be delivered unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. And let everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to the Bible class this morning. Amen. We're going to